Merkle Media.
What does the goddamn line say, Tony?
Please do not use gendered language.
Then what? I'll be arrested, put in airport jail.
Look, you're going completely sideways, man.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
How dare you?
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dave on NBC.
Jack Marius, Tack Theratrix.
Hi, I'm Spartacus.
Steve Jackson, Sacramento, he, him.
Steven Seagal.
Sex offender guy.
I'm Keith Morris.
This is Mumbai Gaddafi.
I'm Rick James, bitch.
Sorting through the lies.
The hijacker's passport was found blocks from the World Trade Center crash site, if you can believe that.
We cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions.
And uncovering the centuries-long plan for world domination.
Learning about Cuba, having some food.
Let's talk about Chinese people.
Have you ever been in a Turkish prison?
I have
Swangles.
I have sent six of my Libyan missiles to blow up the Sears hardware department.
Nothing could be more fun than jumping off a cliff to German bisexuals.
Oh, you English are so superior, aren't you?
Thank you, comrade.
And now, macroaggressions.
That's what assholes call it.
With your host.
Buddy, I don't know who you are, but you're about to get chlamydia.
Charlie Robinson.
Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?
You want to drop the blame on Charlie and say it's all Charlie's fault?
He was a retard.
I get some goddamn diuretic.
Welcome to Macroaggressions. I'm your host, Charlie Robinson. If you're watching us on Iconic, Odyssey, Rockfin, Band.video, or you're listening wherever podcasts are served, thank you so much. We appreciate your amazing and continued support. That's how we've made this show the number one show in the government section of iTunes in America, Canada, Australia, and over 20 different countries. We're big in Nigeria. I don't know why we're big in Nigeria, but we're big in Nigeria. So thank you to all of you in Nigeria, in Lagos, who are listening to me. If you really are listening in Lagos, you have to send me an email because I'm convinced that Chartable is smoking crack, which they may be, but I'll take it anyway. Hey, our sponsors are fantastic. They've been with us for a long, long time. We need their help. You might need their help. My Patriot Supply has been nice enough to create a landing page for us called preparewithmacroaggressions.com. You can go there. The link will be in the show notes. You can just click it. And they'll save you some money on 3 months supply of food, on 4 weeks supply of food. They've got seeds. They have survival coffee. They have water filtration. They have air purification. They've got all kinds of things. Camping gear, just about everything that you're going to need. Calories equals energy equals survival. And I'll tell you, I've been on Twitter a little bit and I've seen there's a lot of people on there that aren't going to make it. But I think this audience probably will make it through. If we have a massive supply chain disruption, I think unfortunately, we're thinking about these things. And I guess one of the benefits of thinking about these things is that we are early rather than being late, and therefore we can prepare for it. So if you are so inclined, you can go through my sponsor, preparewithmacroaggressions.com, and do a little shopping, get that out of your way. Maybe you do it for yourself and your family. Maybe you also are buying it for your mom who lives somewhere else, or your brothers and sisters elsewhere that maybe think you're a little bit unhinged for thinking of these things. Well, they're getting a present in the mail. They're getting buckets of food probably from you. So if you're so inclined, let's be proactive on this. We'd rather be a couple months early rather than be even a day late on this. And also, hey, True Hemp Science has been one of our sponsors. They're making the best hemp-based CBD out there. They sent me a bunch. It fixed my shoulder. I gotta love that. But they also sent me a bottle of bioactive silicate. It's to alkalize your body. Comes in a little container like this, and a little 2 ounce container costs like $40. And what you do is you get a 1 gallon jug of distilled water, dump this in, mix it all up, and in the morning and in the evening, you just take like a 2 ounce swig of this alkalized water. And what it'll do is kill bacteria It's going to kill biofilm inside of you. It's going to kill nanobacteria, which is a contributing factor in clogging up your arteries, surprisingly. It detoxifies the body. I'm almost done with my gallon jug. Been taking it every morning and every evening. Feel good. I feel good. I always feel pretty good, but this stuff is working to clear out the toxins. And what it does is it changes the pH balance in your body, especially in your stomach, and puts it in at a new level where it's a lot harder for these bacteria to grow and the toxins. So diseases live on these toxins. They grow in this particular environment. And what the bioactive silicate does is it works to raise the pH level in your body to something around 7.0, which is where it should be, but it's not always there. It helps to improve your joints and tendons. It's great in tissue repair, flexibility, skin health, wrinkle production, wrinkle prevention, not production, and sleep regulation. So does quite a bit. So if you are so inclined, you can go to truehempscience.com. Use the promo code macro. Take a look at this stuff. Go maybe get some. It's $40. It's not probably going to break you. It's called bioactive silicate, and they swear by it. It's really hard to find. There aren't too many companies that are doing it, but we've got one as a sponsor, and they were very upfront with me. They said this is the thing. Like, if you're going to tell the audience about anything, tell them about this. This is magic. So there you go. Take a look and see what you think. Well, I wish I had better news. It seems like I'm always bringing you guys bad news. But these engineered crises that we're currently living through, the food related ones especially, they're going to get worse. And the reason why they're going to get worse is because the people that are in charge of manufacturing them need them to get worse, so that they can roll in a solution. This is the classic problem reaction solution. Problem: we've got a food crisis. Reaction: oh my God, we're all going to starve to death. Solution: how about genetically modified organisms? Now, GMOs are not new. We've been, wrote about them in my first book, The Octopus of Global Control. That was 2017. They've been around for even longer, 10, 15 years or so. So that's not a secret. But there's a new version of genetically modified foods that is that we're going to get into, and it's really pretty devious, because what they're seeking to do with it is kind of bypass the regulations that are set up for GMO foods by saying, well, this isn't genetically modified, it's genetically edited, which is, I guess, you know, they got a bunch of lawyers that sit around the table and say, well, listen, technically it's not genetically modified, so it is something else, and because it's something else, all those other regulations, they don't apply to this. And so you probably haven't heard of it. It's not really getting too much attention in the media, but it's coming. I'm telling you right now, you heard it here first. It is coming. Genetically edited foods are going to be a big, big deal. Not because they're good for you, but because they get around some legalities. So the Queen did this thing that she does called the Queen's Speech, don't you know, where she sits on a golden throne wearing jewels and all this crazy pompousness, and talks about the pores and what the pores need to do to get their shit together, and how she's going to help out by telling everybody to stop being poor. And this year she mentioned a plan to encourage agricultural and scientific innovation at home, which sounds like a reasonable thing to do. Oh, you're going to encourage innovation with regard to agriculture at home. Did you invent a new type of crop rotation idea, concept? Is there a new John Deere tractor that you're rolling out that's going to magically plow the fields in one third of the time, or be better for the environment? No, of course not. It's none of that. No. She has brought out something through what they call this proposed genetic technology precision breeding bill. Sounds like what they want to do to us, where they seek to loosen regulations on genetic research, don't you know? You know, look, I'm all for lack of you know, regulations and restrictions. I'm very free market. I'm very Adam Smith, invisible hand, libertarian, anarchist, whatever you, however you want to define me. I just want the less government, the better. You know, less of them, the better. So typically when you're talking to me about loosening regulations, I'm like, okay, we're at least in the ballpark. What do you want to loosen regulations on? Oh, you know, nothing major, just genetic research into the food that you eat. And you go, okay. Now, if this was somebody that I knew and somebody that I liked and trusted, I would be open to this. I might be interested to hear what they have to say. But when it's the queen and her band of morons that she has in Windsor, I think I'll pass. Okay, because this does not appeal to me at all. The National Institute of Agricultural Botany said the new legislation would, quote, take certain precision breeding techniques out of the scope of restrictive genetically modified organism rules. I see what this is. They have found a loophole. They have found an avenue around the restrictive genetically modified rules. Let me be clear. The rules regarding genetically modified organisms are not very restrictive. Genetically modified organisms are extremely dangerous. So what this means is that we are going to be seeing gene-edited foods in addition to genetically modified foods. But you know, the queen cares so much about her people, the people. The lizard queen, while sitting on her gold throne and her dead husband who has reincarnated himself as a dangerous virus while when he's, you know, not goose stepping as a Nazi in the videos that you might have seen back in the days, or maybe it's Prince Charles, the chimp. I mean, or Prince Andrew, the pedophile with 72 teddy bears. Mummy, it's good to take care of my teddy bears. The maids have moved them around. I'm not kidding. He's got a bunch of teddy bears. Okay. If it's the first time you're hearing about this, this family, whether it's those morons or it's Prince William who, no kidding, I'm not even joking when I say this. I have had more than one person who is deeply religious and involved in the sort of research that goes into determining who they think the next Antichrist is. I had more than one person tell me that they think that it is Prince William. I'm not kidding. It might be. It very well might be. It's not Harry, the housewife, ginger interloper, who definitely isn't Prince Charles's son. It's not him. It's not Meghan the sociopath. Could be. Meghan the sociopath has a nice ring to it. Oh, how'd your Netflix deal go? Well, we're not going to be making your woke bullshit anymore. But they care about the people, the royal family, don't you know? They care so much about the people that they want to make sure that you have access to a new batch of food. Just, it's new. We've brought the science back into the food. They say that gene editing doesn't introduce DNA from other species, so it shouldn't be regulated like GMO food currently is. So this is the deal with genetically modified organisms. You can't patent a tomato seed, a natural tomato seed. We say organic. It used to just be a tomato seed, you know, but now we have to differentiate. We say organic, meaning not genetically modified. So you can't patent that seed because that comes from nature or God or whoever, or whatever, wherever you think it comes from, that's where it comes from. It doesn't come from science. So, but these corporations are so hungry to make money off the backs of the people in any way they can that they have decided, well, what if we took that seed and we just tweaked it just enough so that it legally wasn't an organic seed anymore? It now became something else because it had a certain amount of modifications done to it. I don't know exactly what that amount is, but there's enough of a change made to the seed that it no longer can be classified as natural. It has to be something else. And if it is something else, now guess what? You can get a patent on it. You can own it. You can sell it. You can profit and make money. You could sell organic seeds too. But I mean, the licensing fees and the way that the, you know, having patents on these so that nobody else can take your technology, that's what these groups are really looking for. So Monsanto, who was acquired or merged with Bayer, they are involved in this. Syngenta is involved in it. Cargill is involved with it. You know, all these groups, you know, just the worst companies in the world have designed these genetically modified organisms. So you get a regular tomato, a natural tomato, and then you get these GMO tomatoes. They look pretty much like a tomato, but they're not totally the same. The nutritional value is much less. It has all sorts of really, let's just say, unknown outcomes that could be associated with it. When they gave genetically modified foods to the rats in the tests, they developed tumors and, you know, but whatever, you know, tumors, who cares? You know, we got to make Monsanto's got to make their stock price go up a point, you know, so you're going to have to deal and live with your tumors. But this is the thought process behind genetically modified foods. They are, and then on top of that, there's some really sketchy stuff where the planted genetically modified field right across the street from an organic field, and then they'll find genetically modified foods growing in the organic field, and then Monsanto will sue the owner of the organic field and say, why are you growing our crops? And they're like, we're not growing your crops. Like, we don't want to grow your crops, but, you know, birds eat the seeds, the birds shit somewhere else, they drop the seeds and the circle of life, and what do you know? We start growing corn, and it's GMO corn now, and if you identify that as GMO corn, where it's not supposed to be, they sue you. And these groups have done this in India with the Indian farmers to the point where there were like 200,000 Indian farmers have killed themselves because of this, because they were getting sued by Monsanto. Now, I don't know personally any Indian farmers, but my assumption is that they're probably not getting super rich off of this. My assumption is that they're probably making enough to squeak by. They're making their food. The last thing they need is some lawsuit from Monsanto to put them out of business, take their land from them, and make them feel that the only way out is to kill themselves. And it didn't happen to just a handful of people. We're talking hundreds of thousands of farmers. It's an abomination. But that's where we start. Let's start with there. That's the baseline where we start with genetically modified foods. Okay. They're no good. They sell the benefits. We're going to feed the world with genetically modified food. The yield will be so much higher. It's not. The nutritional value will be so much higher. It's not. The cost will be so much lower. They're not. You got to spray them with glyphosate. You've got to do, you know, all of these things. It's a circle. It's a business. There's a lot of money in it. And these organizations, these companies, these multinational companies like Monsanto, Bayer, and Syngenta, Cargill, and the like, they got a lot of money tied up in this, right? But there is a problem. And the problem is that genetically modified foods are super dangerous, and the world knows this. Okay, so they're not welcome everywhere. Switzerland and Russia have recently added new laws that allow gene-edited food, not genetically modified food. Both of those countries have a ban on GMO foods, but they have now passed new laws that allow for genetically edited foods. It's a difference, right? It's different enough that they've said, well, it's not GMO, it's something else. Let's approve it. So we're getting ourselves into a situation where you're going to need to pay attention to the details. Something tells me that the gene-edited foods are not going to be very good for you, and especially, you know, on the heels of genetically modified organisms, we see what that is. So let's talk about this. Let's talk about some of the countries, just so you know, you have an idea of who has banned the growing of genetically modified food. And let me be clear. Let me start by saying, just because the countries have banned the growing of GMO foods does not mean that there's necessarily a ban on the importation of GMO foods. It just means you can't grow them there. Okay, so here, so the countries that have banned the growing of GMO foods are as follows: France, Germany, Greece, Hungary, Netherlands, Latvia, Lithuania, Luxembourg, Bulgaria, Poland, Denmark, Malta, Slovenia, Italy, Croatia, Scotland, Wales, Northern Ireland, Russia, Turkey, Kyrgyzstan, Bhutan, Peru, Saudi Arabia, Belize, Ecuador, Venezuela, South Africa, and Nigeria. They said, no, can't grow this here. You cannot grow this here. We saw what happened with the Philippines with golden rice. You guys promised that it was going to make, it was going to, you know, increase production. It didn't. You promised it was going to be cheaper. Wasn't. You promised that these fields were going to have tremendous outputs. They didn't. The farmers revolted. Everyone was pissed off, and they got rid of golden rice in the Philippines and elsewhere in Southeast Asia because it's no good. Because it doesn't work. It was a scam. And the countries, or at least that country, recognized that. And they said, this isn't going to work. And actually, Russia cited the Philippines experiment with golden rice as the reason why they wanted nothing to do with GMO foods as well. They said, man, we've seen what you've done. We're not interested. So there's that. And China, too. They saw that, too. They go, no, we're not interested in this. But there are some big countries that do allow you to grow GMO food, and not just grow it, enthusiastically grow it. So let's start with them. These are the countries that will allow you to grow toxic genetically modified food. Starting with the biggest grower is the United States of America. No surprise there. We have Brazil, we have Canada and Australia. Again, these shouldn't be surprises to anybody. Argentina, Chile, Colombia, Costa Rica. China allows now allows you to grow it, even though they were against it because of the Philippines, but they decided that they're going to allow it anyway because they just have so many people and they don't give a shit about their people anyway. Colombia, Costa Rica, India is allowed to grow it. Mexico, Pakistan, Spain, Vietnam, Portugal, Bangladesh, Sudan, Bolivia, and Czech Republic. Now, if I were to put on my tinfoil sombrero and overlay the map of that Deagle put forth showing the population change between the years 2015 and 2025, boy, would I have a whole lot of overlap between the countries that they showed as losing massive amounts of their population by the year 2025 and the countries that are allowed to grow genetically modified food. There's a lot of overlap there. But again, I'd have to be a conspiracy theorist to think that genetically modified organisms was part of some depopulation plan, right? That would be insane of me. Wink, wink. Yeah. 96% of India's cotton is genetically modified. We know how many, how much of the world's clothing comes from not just China, but India too. Same goes for Australia. 94% of their cotton is genetically modified. Spain grew 95% of all genetically modified corn in the European Union. As a whole, Spain grew most of it. Let's see. 86% of U.S. corn is genetically modified. The corn you're eating. 86% of it is GMO. Now, it's not just the corn you're eating. Let's talk about high fructose corn syrup. Let's talk about corn-based products that's in everything. At least in a Western diet here, we have it in everything, cereals and you name it. It's ubiquitous here, and it's almost all GMO. 93% of U.S. soybeans are genetically modified. Now, let's talk about this for just a second. because I like to, you know, if you've been listening to this show for any extended period of time, you know, I like to have fun with the soy boys and mess with that group of ridiculous people and goof on them and shit on them and say that they can't throw their Molotov cocktails overhand. They have to underhand them because they're too weak and everything. But let's talk about the reality of this situation and be serious just for a moment. 93% of the soybeans in America are genetically modified. Do you think that is having an impact on testosterone levels? Because I do. I think it's impacting testosterone. I think it's impacting estrogen levels. I think the soy boy joke is no joke. It's a real thing. And I think this is the culprit. Genetically modified soybeans, 93%. In America. Remember, another big place where you get soybeans is Brazil. And they're one of the countries that's allowed to grow GMO soybeans too. So just about all the soy you're going to see out there, first of all, too much soy is no good for you, even under the best of circumstances, even if it's organically grown. But take that out, you don't have to worry about that because it's all GMO grown. So you've got a genetically modified organism in soybeans in America that's being converted into everything and then passed off to the people. No wonder we've got people calling for a third bathroom. Nobody knows what gender there are. I hear in my head, Alex Jones, they're turning the frogs gay. How are they doing that, Alex? Are they doing it with U.S. soybeans that are GMO? Maybe. Well, actually, with the frogs, they're doing it with all of the poisonous runoff that's sprayed on the crops, runs off into the water supply, and then turns the frogs gay. So if the GMO soy doesn't get you, then the abazapram or whatever the fuck the name is of that poison they're spraying on it, that'll get you. Next thing you know, you'll be using Kool-Aid to color your hair and teaching preschool. So an important differentiation, just some of the countries that have banned GMOs from being grown here. And they say, we don't want that. We won't allow you to grow GMOs here, are also simultaneously importing GMOs. So don't get fooled. If you're living in a country that's on the list that says we ban them from growing it, that's a good start for sure. It's the right direction. But just understand, they're also importing it, so you don't really get off that easy. And GMOs are grown or imported into 75 different countries. So this is the direction they're taking us. And I'll get into who they are towards the end of this. But it's most definitely an agenda. It's not accidental. We're not imagining this whole thing. No. This is really happening. And of course, one of the things that you come to understand through paying attention is that they're going to use the fear of different crises to scare you in a variety of ways. So as an example of that, climate change, right? This is, we've gone over this before. We'll go over it in the future. It's a scam. Pollution is real. We've got problems with pollution, definitely. But that's not what we're talking about. They're talking about climate change. Too much carbon in the atmosphere. It's not a problem in reality, but they say it's a problem. They use bot science, just like they did with COVID, to tell you that there's a huge problem. So they're gonna ride this climate change horse as far as they can. And they're going to use it as a scare tactic to get you to fall in line with a variety of other dictates that they're rolling out. So they're using the climate change angle for GMOs, you know, to push GMOs. So here are some of the headlines, some headlines that I have found that sort of punctuate this. Can GM save the planet? What a brave and stunning headline. Genetic engineering can have a positive effect on the climate. GMOs could shrink Europe's climate footprint. I love how it's like all these qualifiers. Might shrink their... Maybe it could. Is it going to? No. But it could. if we say it could enough. This one's great. Ukraine crisis reveals the folly of organic farming. As food prices skyrocket, the world needs to admit it can't live without modern, effective agriculture. Who the fuck wrote that article? John Monsanto? For war forces farmers to think again about GM crops. Oh, wow. It's almost like there's an agenda tied to this, huh? Here's another headline. Can gene editing help farmers satisfy the rising demand for food? No, can't. Because you guys are running a scam. I mean, I love the headline, though. They're always, it's like pondering, like pontificating. Can these amazing genetically modified organisms really save humanity? And then you're like, oh, I don't know. And then you read it. And of course, it's like a total puff piece. But if I wrote it, it'd be like one sentence afterwards. No, are you fucking stupid? The end. I don't think I would get hired by that publication. Genetic modification could make Britain's food system less susceptible to geopolitical turmoil. Oh, really? Less susceptible to the geopolitical turmoil that you guys are helping to foment? I got an idea. Why don't you stop with the geopolitical turmoil and then you won't have food problems? How's that for a suggestion? Well, that's never going to happen. But you can expect a couple of things to come out of this. And you can, you know, as Chick Hearn used to say, you can read it and see it in Braille was what he would say. Meaning you could see this coming a mile away, right? GMOs or gene edited foods are going to have the same sales pitch as vaccines. Actually, the genetically modified foods have had some of the same sales pitches, but the gene edited versions, you're going to start to see here are the words that you'll look for, and then just overlay the vaccine agenda sales pitch on top of this. Safe, healthy, trust the science. The science is settled. I mean, we're already seeing that. It's unpatriotic to question it. How dare you? We're trying to feed the world here, and you're out here saying that maybe these genetically modified foods could be dangerous. How dare you? What do you think is more dangerous, genetically modified foods or starving to death? Definitely you're going to use people. Expect this. This is coming. Take it to the bank. This statement right here is coming. Expect to hear this from your corporate press. People buying real food are selfish. You heard it here first. It's coming. Oh, you're buying this organic food? Oh, why doesn't Elon Musk use that $44 billion to feed the whole world and end homelessness? That sort of bullshit. Oh my God. What you're helping? Why aren't you buying organic food that's so expensive? How arrogant of you. You're selfish. Help the world by eating GMOs. Help the world by getting vaccinated, guys. You got to help the world. This is a much bigger problem than you. How dare you make a personal bodily decision about you? You have to make your own personal bodily decision to save the world. So you're not going to eat GMOs to save the world. Eat these new gene-edited foods to save the world. What's the matter with you? You why don't you have your GMO food icon in your Twitter bio, you bigot? You probably voted for Trump. Do your part. Do your part. Eat genetically modified foods or genetically modified bugs or whatever the fuck they're going to sell you. Actually, organic has higher carbon emissions and is worse for the planet than GMO. I mean, you know that's coming. Actually, eating organic is worse for the planet. It's worse for the environment. Please shut the fuck up in advance of this. All of you dummies out there that are going to try and tell us that organic food is worse for the planet. Organic food has been keeping the planet alive for hundreds of thousands of years. I mean, billions of years if you want to count like dinosaurs and shit like that. And I don't want to get into that debate. But you know what I mean. it's only been organic food from the beginning of time up until like 20 years ago. So if organic foods are killing the planet, why didn't the planet die already? Because it's a lie. But you're going to hear it anyway. You're going to hear this sort of ridiculous argument that, well, you know, the cultivation process and all of this leads to higher carbon emissions, and that's bad for the environment. And our ESG scores, you're going to get a low ESG score if you're an organic farmer. You're going to get a high ESG score if you're Monsanto, because that makes sense. But they're going to do this, and of course, the dummies in the middle will not figure this out, and they'll parrot those talking points, and they'll try to give you a hard time for eating organic foods. And all you really have to say is, mind your own business. It's not, what I eat is none of your business. And for the record, if you think that what you're eating or what you're putting in your Twitter bio, or that you're wearing a mask, or you're putting a Ukrainian flag behind, you know, hanging it from your rear view mirror or whatever, is saving the world or doing anything, you're a retard. You just don't understand reality. So, but expect this. Expect the organic food shaming that will most certainly be coming. It's coming. That is, if you don't get called a Russian enthusiast, because Russia doesn't want GMOs there. They now have, like I said, they just signed a law allowing gene edited. But if you don't want GMOs, who say, what are you, a Russian? Yeah, I'm a Russian. You caught me. Or this. And you may laugh now, but you won't be laughing when you actually hear somebody say this. You're going to hear somebody say that organic food is a right-wing thing. For sure. And maybe it is, because the left wing doesn't seem to be using their brains. So maybe organic food is a right-wing thing. Not because it's some Trump conspiracy, but because maybe the people on the right are paying attention and have a functioning brain. Cheaper food is good for marginalized communities and people. You'll hear that. That'll go right with the organic shaming. How dare you eat that organic apple? You could give four GMO apples to marginalized people in the marginalized community. You know, people that got mispronounced by somebody. They're a marginalized community now. Anti-GMO equals anti-vax. You can understand that, right? You can understand where that's going. Trust the science. Science is never wrong. Science is settled. The science on genetically modified foods is settled. That actually is true. The science on genetically modified foods is settled. They're dangerous and garbage and terrible for you. That has been settled. So, but again, because I have nothing to hide, I say continue to explore it. Continue to use the science registered trademark to explore genetically modified foods. And if you find something new, I'd be really interested to hear what you come up with. But in actuality, the science has been settled on genetically modified foods. They give people tumors. They're no good for you. A bunch of countries have said, get them out. We don't want them. And I think this free range, when you hear free range, like whether it's free range chickens or, you know, like the idea of organic, meaning non-pollute, just that equals Nazis. Yeah, I mean, and it's silly, and I'm being a bit facetious here, but am I really? Like, can't you envision some bot on Twitter arguing, you know, trying to argue with you about how this idea of getting away from big agra by not wanting to spray glyphosate on your food, but all of that makes you a literal Nazi? I mean, it doesn't have to make sense. We know that. I'm not saying that free range equals Nazi because it makes any sense. I say that because it doesn't make any sense. And because it doesn't make any sense, get ready for it, because it's coming. So, how does gene editing fit into the current issues? Well, I'm going to tell you, because we have an engineered food crisis that was scheduled and announced by the Biden administration. Funny how they can see, so incompetent, can't figure anything out, couldn't see inflation coming, didn't know, still don't believe inflation's here, or maybe it's transitory, right, according to them, but they never saw any of that coming. But you know what they did see coming? A food crisis. And what do you know? It's happening just like they said it would happen. I mean, it's almost as if they made it happen. How could they make it happen? Well, they could monkey with the supply chains and close down ports and do all the ridiculousness that they did in Southern California with the Port of LA and the Port of Long Beach and requiring only newer 18-wheeler trucks to be allowed in there to service them, and anything before 2010 not allowed to service California. That would help. I mean, if you're trying to break the supply chain, that would be one way to do it. We've got food processing plants exploding. Nobody seems to know why. We've had not one, but two instances of airplanes crashing into food processing businesses. I'm not a statistician, okay? That seems highly unlikely to me for that to be accidental. I could be wrong. I mean, I could, of course, but we've had 32 domestic food processing plants burned to the ground this year. We've had over 100 happen internationally. So this is, for those of you in America who know about this, this is not an America-centric problem. This is happening elsewhere as well. Now, to be fair, in the interest of, you know, integrity here, I don't know what the normal amount of food processing plants are that just up and explode on a yearly basis. Okay, I don't really know what the baseline is. But we're only like 5 months into this year, and 32 sounds pretty high to me. And 100 internationally sounds pretty high. I could be wrong though. It could be, maybe it's normal, but nothing feels normal. And this feels engineered to me. And, you know, and the Biden administration's calling their shots. I mean, a group that's so incompetent, they can't get anything done. They happen to know that this was going to happen. This is coming our way. So we have digital food rationing in Iran using biometric ID to help, quote, help hungry people. We're going to help these hungry people, but we got to use biometric identification. Oh no, where have we heard this before? This is what China's doing. This is what the part of the Agenda 2030 program, biometric data. You're starving? We'll give you some food, but we want to scan your eyeballs. We want your fingerprints. We want your DNA. And we got to, you know, somebody's got to stick their thumb up your ass or something. I don't know. But Sri Lanka, they ain't having it. Have you noticed? They're hungry and pissed off. Did you see that politician's Lamborghini get lit on fire? That was pretty awesome. I mean, there's probably other things you could have done with the Lamborghini, you know, sold it and get some food or something. I don't know, but I understand the frustration. I understand wanting to, you know, I've seen the videos of them chasing politicians down the street. This is the way. Look, I'm not advocating violence, but I'm just saying that as a politician, when you make decisions that impact your people and you force them to not have fuel and food, you are going to get this. Don't act surprised when they burn your place to the ground. So again, maybe be accountable to the people and not to the World Economic Forum, you know, and things like that won't happen potentially. Have you read that Australia is moving to ban their residents from growing food? You're not going to be allowed to grow your own food. And do you know the reasoning behind that? It's biosecurity, don't you know? You know, again, if this were pre-COVID and I hadn't just witnessed Australia go full authoritarian, Maybe I could wrap my head around this idea of not allowing people to grow food for biosecurity reasons. And I only say that because Australia is a gigantic island. Maybe there's some scientific reason where they say, well, if we do this, it, things could spread and we're kind of trapped here and we're fully dependent on people. It'd be a lot to get me to believe it, but maybe. Okay. I'd be at least interested to hear their argument for it. But after you guys have been building COVID quarantine camps, sorry, I'm not listening to anything you have to say. This is intentional to starve out the people, to put the people in a position where they are dependent on the government. They've already been disarmed. They've already built COVID camps in Australia or repurposed existing prisons for that. We've seen what they've done with the drones, with microphones, you know, chasing people around. We've seen the Abercrombie and Fitch style marketing campaign to show all these like young, like 20 something girls. They're like, I'm just living my best summer life out here in my quarantine camp, sitting in the porch. What are you doing? Hashtag blessed. You know, if I see that and what Australia has been going through and the insane restrictions and the psychotic people that are running it, that are doing like bumps of cocaine before like turning around to the camera. And then just, I don't know if you've seen that video of that politician who I swear to God rips like a line of coke and then turns around like a savage and gets in front of that microphone and starts screaming at everybody. When those people come out with a law that says you're not allowed to grow your own food anymore, it's time to leave. Or it's time to go Sri Lanka on these people. Because biosecurity, that's not a reason I'm going to be buying. But the World Economic Forum, you know, of course, we've talked about this many times. They want you to eat the bugs. They want you to eat the bugs. There's a new term even for it. Alternative protein. Doesn't that sound delicious? Alternative protein. Oh, what kind of alternative proteins do you have for my salad? Well, you can have crickets or mealworms. Take your pick. I'll pass. We've got Ukraine and their wheat, one of the, you know, the breadbasket of Europe, as they say, the poorest country in Europe, but they've got wheat. And we need wheat. We need the food that comes from the processing of wheat. We've got Russia being one of the largest suppliers of potash, which is a component in making fertilizer. So when you cut off and choke Russia and slap sanctions on them saying none of our stuff is going to go into you, what they say is fine, then none of our stuff is going to go out to you. And what does that entail? Well, fertilizer. So now we've got a supply chain situation that was started during COVID that has spread everywhere, mostly China. We've got an engineered war between Ukraine, the breadbasket of Europe, and Russia, the fertilizer capital of the world, and disruptions in both of those places. Look, it's something to keep your eye on. And we've got bird flu coming up in the news and culling of chickens. We've got cows with COVID and the culling of beef, you know, and of course the push for synthetic beef and all of this stuff. And who is the epicenter of all of this? Well, Mr. Pregnant Man himself, Bill Gates, our favorite villain. He's now the largest owner of farmland in the United States of America, and that should terrify everybody. He's the largest, or at least at one point was the largest individual shareholder of Monsanto, which makes genetically modified crops. He is he in conjunction with Syngenta and the Rockefeller Foundation and the Norwegian government are responsible for the building of the Svalbard seed vault, 1,100 kilometers south of the North Pole, that's built into a mountain that contains original seeds, actual authentic seeds that could be stored away so that the poor can't get to them. Up there, it's built like 400 feet up a mountain and then 300 feet into a mountain. And all these countries can go and hide their actual seeds there. Nothing suspicious about that. Bill Gates is involved in Beyond Meat, lab-grown meat, which is filled with estrogen and soy, GMO soy, of course. He's been talking about wanting to block out the sun, the actual sun. And this is not Montgomery Burns from The Simpsons. I mean, it is, but it isn't. And then there's BioMilk. Have you heard about this? It's not good. I'm gonna let you in on a little secret. BioMilk is probably not what you're gonna want to give your kids. It is a green alternative to baby formula to fight greenhouse gases. You know, I mean, forget those volcanoes that go off periodically and throw so much carbon into the atmosphere that it can change the world forever. Forget about that. Have you seen the sort of green greenhouse gas footprint of the baby milk formula industry? I mean, they're putting up like tens of pounds of emissions. What? This is the reason we have to go to synthetic baby milk, because of the greenhouse gases from the baby formula industry? Are you out of your fucking minds? This is nonsense. This is a lie. This is, of course, it's an overt lie. It's not to fight greenhouse gases. We're not fighting. This is back into that cow farts narrative that they were running with for a while. It's so silly and ludicrous that you have to laugh at it. But these people are serious. They're pushing this. They're saying this is the world's first cell cultured artificial breast milk. And who better to sell artificial breast milk than Bill Gates himself? I mean, he's got a rack on him, man. I'm a little surprised they didn't put Bill Gates and his bra and his man boobs on the cover of Sports Illustrated with that fat chick that they put on there. I'm sorry. Was that mean? But there's a company that he started called Breakthrough Energy Ventures, and it's a venture capital fund, and it is started by Bill Gates. And one of the companies that they incubated was called BioMilk, BioMilq. We're woman owned. We're women owned by this. Oh, okay. So you're women owned. BioMilk is. Who's the CEO? Oh, don't worry about her. She just worked at the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, and then they gave her $3.5 million to go start this. You're women owned, but you're Bill Gates financed. But not just him. Because this organization, Breakthrough Energy Ventures, very easily could have put this in my Sand Hill Road episode. This is a venture capital fund that is started with the purpose of incubating other companies that are going to go on to change the world under green, you know, and reduce the carbon footprint and the green buzzwords and the buzzword and all that stuff. And you go, well, there's nothing wrong with that, right? You're going to start these companies and a lot of people are going to have jobs because of these. And you're going to say, you know, they want to save the environment. Stop. All right. First of all, just stop with that nonsense, because it's Bill Gates. But it's not just Bill Gates. Would you like to know who the other investors are in Bill Gates' venture capital fund? And once you hear this, then you decide whether or not you want to give BioMilk to your child. Okay. Bill Gates is, of course, the lead investor, but we've also got Mark Zuckerberg, Prince Al-Walid bin Talal, Reid Hoffman, Jack Ma, David Rubenstein, founder of the Carlyle Group, one of the most dangerous companies in the world, Jeff fucking Bezos is involved, Richard Branson, who might have a pedophile island. I'm just saying, he might. Little Elf Michael Bloomberg, John Doerr from Kleiner Perkins, and Ray Dalio. Okay, so they've got some big hitters here. And they're raising money to save the world, don't you know? I mean, if you believe that Prince Al-Walid and Mark Zuckerberg and Jeff Bezos and Bill Gates and Mike Bloomberg care about baby formula for kids, These people are all members of the World Economic Forum, who is deeply involved in depopulation, transhumanism, and eugenics. They're trying to kill people, not save them. So if you're dying of thirst and Bill Gates hands you a bottle of water, you might not want to drink it. I'm just saying that you got to get past the glossy sales pitch for this stuff. Oh, well, it's cell cultured. It's artificial breast milk. And, you know, we've got breast formula shortages. And if only we had what could we use to combat these baby formula shortages that we're having? And then Bill Gates just walks in and goes, well, I just happened to invest in a company that's doing the same thing. Oh, what a fucking coincidence. So we've got biomilk. You've been warned. Agricultural fertilizers. Let's talk about those for a minute too, because this is important too. We have to recognize that when you're talking about big time agricultural fertilizers, they're really made with three products: potassium, phosphorus, and nitrogen. Okay, nitrogen is abundant everywhere. Just about any country, you know, has access to nitrogen. Potassium, you really have two main choices: Russia and Canada for that. And phosphorus, you have United States, Brazil, and Morocco. These are the main countries. So when you start a war that involves Russia, and Russia is the largest, one of the largest, I think they're maybe second to Canada. They might even be first, I'm not sure. Supplier of potassium, which is one of the main ingredients in fertilizer, you're going to have a fertilizer problem. Now, that's fine if you don't have any sort of other supply chain issues going on. But if you have both, then now you've got issues. And phosphorus, United States, Brazil, and Morocco, you know, great. We can control some of this, but we're going to need a third component. You know, we've got nitrogen, we've got phosphorus, but we don't have potassium. Well, you can get it from Canada, or can you? Can you? Is Canada exporting this anymore? It doesn't seem like it. It seems like there's some sort of moratorium on that. I'm sure it's COVID related. I'm sure they don't want the truckers, you know, that aren't vaxxed to catch COVID and give it to, I don't know, who knows? But we have to recognize that the role in the Ukrainian war in creating these supply chain issues for food, for wheat, for potash, which is Russia is a big exporter of for fertilizer. And this is the excuse that they've used to wreck the flow of food and supplies. And they've done a great job. They're wrecking it, all right. It's creating havoc. But with regard to food growing, fertilizer, and supply chain, these things are on a bit of a delayed reaction. So it takes a little bit of time for them to be felt by the consumers due to the nature of what they are. And so it takes a couple months. It's a lagging indicator of how fucked you are, is if you don't have these things. You're fine today, but in 5, 6, 8 months, you're going to be feeling the brunt of this. So, but don't worry. I have good news for you. Not really. The World Food Program is here to help, don't you know? Now, this is a United Nations organization, so you already know what it's all about. And when I give you the list of who is involved in financing the World Food Program, it's probably not going to set your mind at ease either. So we've got the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, of course. We have the Rockefeller Foundation. That's, of course, to them too, because this is World Food Program follows under the United Nations, and the United Nations was started by the Rockefellers. So this is, again, not to unite nations into peace and harmony, but to unite nations into a one world government. And the best way to simultaneously get the world ready for a one world government is to kill off a sizable portion of the populations of every country so that it'll be easier for these people to manage. So Forgive me if when I see the World Food Program under the United Nations, I don't fall for this trick and think that they're actually here to help. And especially when I see who's financing them. Who else? Palantir. Okay. Scary, spooky Department of Defense aligned company started by Peter Thiel and Alex Karp. Not good. Managing data, crunching data for all of the intelligence agencies. They should be nowhere near the World Food Program. MasterCard. Again, oh, it's just credit cards? Not really. They're involved in some other things too. Cargill, you remember them from the food chain reaction? Yeah. Cargill's involved. Bank of America is contributing money to the World Food Program. And Pepsi. Where have I seen this list of companies before? It looks very familiar to me. Yes, it's United Nations. They're all working with the United Nations. The World Economic Forum. Once again, all of these companies that I just mentioned that are financing the World Food Program are all members of the World Economic Forum. Again, another depopulation, transhumanist, eugenics outfit. 60 governments gave the World Food Program money, led by the United States, of course, who gave out $3.2 billion, I'm sure with no strings attached and no oversight. Because if there's one thing we know that the World Food Program is going to do, they say that they're focused on a world without hunger by 2030. Another 2030. Oh no. What an interesting benchmark they always seem to use. It's always with the 2030, isn't it? Well, it is with the United Nations. Because the United Nations are the ones that put forth Agenda 21, Agenda 2030, and Agenda 2050. So you're always going to get these benchmarks. And, you know, here's the thing. These food-related NGOs, they often appear in countries that are in the process of going through a disaster or have just had a disaster happen. And they come in and they relocate people, i.e. traffic people. And they coordinate with other UN agencies to mass vaccinate them as well. So I want to, you would think, though, that the World Food Program would be only about or mainly about food, right? Again, it's just like the World Health Organization. It's the health organization of the world. Oh, the World Food Program. So they're going to be involved in the food program for the world? Not exactly. They're also involved in, this from their website, you can look for yourself, asset creation, cash and market support, climate action, here we go, gender equality, okay, right on schedule, school-based programs, sustainable ecosystems, social protection. Hey, I thought you guys were going to just be bringing in food for all these people. Why are you so worried about gender equality? Who gives a shit about gender equality when they're starving to death? The United Nations does. That's who. But really, what the World Food Program is interested in doing is spreading genetically modified foods into poor countries in order to depopulate them. It's what they do. In Ethiopia, only 12% of the food that was donated, that was earmarked to be delivered to the most poverty-stricken areas, actually got there. So they're inefficient on top of this. They give these poor countries, basically two choices. Take the genetically modified foods from us or starve to death. Because they don't offer them organic. It's not an option. They only get GMO from this. And, you know, when you're under the umbrella of the United Nations, that shouldn't be a surprise to anybody. But, you know, because at their core, they're about depopulation. So just forgive me for being a bit suspicious when I see the World Food Program coming to help sponsored by the United Nations, Bill Gates and the Rockefeller Foundation, getting their data run by Palantir and seeds given to them by Cargill, financed by Bank of America. I'm suspicious. And I should be. And you know why I should be? Because in 1974, December 10th, Henry Kissinger put out a memo that laid it all out. Plan for food control genocide. This was his memorandum that he put out. National Security Study Memorandum 200, Implications of Worldwide Population Growth for U.S. Security and Overseas Interests. It was adopted as official policy by President Gerald Ford in November of 1975. The United States government made it their official policy to manage population growth in foreign countries under Henry fucking Kissinger. A guy who's on the record saying we need to depopulate half the planet. This included covert plans to reduce population growth in lesser developed countries through birth control, war, and famine. And Brent Scowcroft was put in charge of the plan. That's the he later went on to become Project for a New American Century guy, deep state to his core. He was in charge of implementing this plan, Kissinger's plan, got the approval from Ford. There were 13 key countries that were identified as needing their populations reduced. India, Bangladesh, Pakistan, Indonesia, Thailand, Philippines, Turkey, Nigeria, Egypt, Mexico, Brazil, and Colombia. If you live in any of those countries, those 13 countries that I just mentioned, just so you know, you have been slated for depopulation by Henry Kissinger and signed by Gerald Ford in 1975. And put into action by Brent Scowcroft. Ten of those 13 countries, World Food Program is involved in them. But I'm sure that's just a coincidence, right? Just a big coincidence. They're trying to depopulate under the guise of saving people. It's Kissinger's wet dream. Food is a weapon. So when you see gene-edited food, and you say, well, that's not genetically modified. It must be better. It's not better. It's just different. It's legally different so that it gets you around these sort of restrictions and regulations that were rightly placed on genetically modified organisms. And when you see the World Food Program out there touting how they're saving the planet, just remember, they're only in the countries that are on the list for depopulation. So, you know, spare me the savior sales pitch because I'm not buying it. And neither should you. If you like this episode, you can take the additional step right now of sharing it with your friends and family. You guys have done a great job. That's why this show has grown the way it is. I deeply appreciate it. You can follow me on Twitter at macroaggressions, and you can go to the website, theoctopusofglobalcontrol.com. I'll talk to you all very soon.